Well, hello and welcome to the first season. How's this? The first episode of the season of the Shutdown Fullcast. I am Spencer Hall, editor of Every Day Should Be Saturday, editorial director for SB Nation. Joining me from Atlanta, Georgia.
Do you want me to introduce myself, or are you going to introduce me for me? We didn't talk about this.
Yeah, you see, planning is really averse to everything we believe in here, but if there's a long pause and I see someone else in Atlanta, I'm probably not introducing myself.
I just thought you forgot his name.
Well, I just didn't know if you were sort of building up the suspense and then you were going to say
that's my name, Jason Kirk.
My name is Jason Kirk. If anyone cares at this point,
The college football editor at SB Nation, and joining us from New York. In the separate intro, which is the third person on the podcast, formerly known as Celebrity Hot Tub Only, now doxed in real life and shamed with the opportunity of a media job, Ryan Nanny?
Yeah, that's correct. That is the name I've chosen.
You said his name.
Yes, we can do that now.
Okay. No, I meant you didn't say mine, but you did say his.
That's Jason Kirk, the editor of SB Nation College Football. Kennesaw State alum and fan. Go Owls.
And you're Spencer Hall. Did we already say that?
We did. And there's Ryan Nanny.
I'm Ryan.
Up in New York, we have Ryan Nanny.
And that's Jason Kirk.
Oh,
this is a Shutdown Fullcast.
We've already gotten to a fantastic start.
I feel bad for whoever has to transcribe this.
On tonight's Shutdown Fullcast. Yeah, for the Library of Congress when we send it to them.
I think we just have Jimbo Fisher do it.
I got it, guys. Hold on. I got it. It's just going to take me about 2 minutes. I got it. Just send it right through. I got a girl. I got a girl who does this. We have something to discuss, by the way, which is that tonight, right before we went on, Charlie Strong, who's already kicked off a full 9% of his roster at the University of Texas, decided to just up that to 10 and booted off two linemen, thus leaving the Longhorns with guess how many career starts on the offensive line? How many?
Five.
The number is lower than five.
The number is indeed lower than five.
You're thinking a little too high, Ryan.
Two.
Well. Hey. Why are you hating on the Longhorns, man? Too low.
I will go ahead and just tell you that number, four.
Man.
Four. They have four starts. With this move, Charlie Strong has now created the least experienced offensive line in all of college football.
Whatever, man. That helicopter had too much weight. he's just getting the dead weight off of it.
We ain't gonna make it to the base.
Just throwing kids.
I think it's an academic move if you think about professor to student ratio. He's just trying to improve that. You know, if you only have 10 players, they can all get a great education.
Look out, U.S. News and World Report.
Is Texas football like a daycare? What's your teacher to student ratio?
Here's the question I have for both of you, because you both have children. And if one of your children acts out, what is level one of what you're going to do with that kid?
Level one is I back off and look at my phone and see if my wife takes care of it first.
Okay.
And then start reading Twitter.
Yeah.
Go outside.
Hold on, honey. I'm working on something. This is my work. That's what I do.
Yeah, Spencer's the one to answer this because, I mean, I could weigh in, but his advice is going to be much more fruitful because he has two boys, and all boys are animals.
Right. But I assume there are, like, layers of response that you have.
Like we're police?
Right.
Yeah, there are rules of engagement, and there's a process. You know, first is you hit them with a serious face. You know, then you try counting. Then you go for a timeout. Then you go for, well, you're not going to have any fun ever. And try to take away something fun. With that right there, that about covers it with a girl. But as for boys, I assume you have to start throwing things.
I think this is where Charlie's at. I think Charlie's at the point in parenting when he's decided that there's something hot on the stove. Right now, Texas football is just one huge kitchen with 1,000 pots on the stove, right? With hot things and handles leaning over. And if you're dealing with kids and you think you have a really crucial, important situation, there's certain times when that like, oh, honey, or this is your first warning, that doesn't work at all. All right?
This is not a metaphor, by the way. Texas actually, Mac Brown's last contract, he had a 10,000 burner stove.
It made no sense. But at that point, Texas was just spending the money. 10,000 burner stove, bunch of things boiling over. And it's not a matter of being alert. It's that kid can't pull that off the stove. You can't let them, right? So if you have to yank them physically away from it while screaming and making as much of a ruckus as possible in the kind that will just scare the daylights out of them, possibly scarring them, that's preferable to actual scarring. So I really think that's maybe where parenting and Charlie Strong intersect. It's like when a kid runs out into the street. I think right now he sees this year as being so crucial that if he sees anyone doing anything, it's a kid running out in the street. You yank them, you scare them, you pull them out, and you put them in timeout. Of course, the difference here being this isn't actually in loco parentis. And two, Charlie Strong isn't their dad. And he's actually just robbing them of scholarship.
Yeah, and ta-da! Time out means you're going to go live somewhere else now.
Yeah,
right.
We're right. Giving you away.
That's. I hope he just has this binary system where it's like, oh, you behaved, so you're on the good side. Oh, you did something wrong, you're banished forever. I hope there is no like levels. it's just in or out. That's
it's the opposite of the song.
Like a 17th century like a 17th century orphanage, basically.
Yeah, this also makes me wonder, like, the last 3 years at Texas must have been really cool.
Oh, so cool!
Like as a player, like what couldn't you get away with?
But it also has the after. It's sort of like when you have in high school the 27-year-old substitute teacher who ends up teaching the whole semester. And you're like, oh my god, he's so cool. He like hung out with us, and he was the coach of the rowing team. And then like 5 years after high school, you're like, man, he hung out with us a lot. That was weird.
Yeah, and you're like, why didn't I get drafted? Right. Why didn't a single one of my teammates get drafted?
I think they just walked in and they're like, hey, go to lift today, boys. Nah, I'm not feeling it, coach. All right, that's cool. Bye.
Just going to hit the elliptical. About
they're basically you, right? Like, I'm going to go to the gym. What you going to do?
Why don't you go make a flapjack? We got the burners for it.
We have 10,000 of them.
Lord knows we got the burners. Now, I just want to, like, there's so many systems that Charlie's set up at Texas where you got to earn the right to do the hook'em. You got to earn the helmet logo and all this. Like, what else is there that he could possibly take away that these guys are going to, that he can add so that guys sort of pick up on what he's doing here? What else can he take away?
He can tape Pringles cans around your hands so you can't
see those. That's adding something, though. He's adding Pringles cans.
Technically making the world's lamest X-Man out of them.
I don't know. In Mega Man 2, Pringles Man is devastating.
He's right up there with Florida Man and Racist Man and Racist Florida Man.
You definitely want to beat guy. You definitely want to beat Cherry Coke Man before you beat Pringles Man, though.
Looking ahead at Texas's schedule, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to get rough.
Oh, it's going to get rough fast, because if you're talking about being porous along the offensive line, that points to a matchup of some import on October 4th against Baylor, who Baylor has a defensive line now. Who knew?
Yeah, and you know, surrounding that, Oklahoma, they've got linebackers. BYU always has a couple 35-year-old pass rushers, and UCLA, they got Miles Jack. So this is all going to be really fun.
Yeah, enjoy that. They might win before booting off their last two offensive linemen. You're sort of thinking, I don't know, were you thinking like a 6-win year, 7-win year for Texas?
I was thinking like 8 or so, but now it's good heavens. Well, they got one. Is that enough?
just stop, like a sad blackjack player.
Just play. Just have a bunch of lightning and stuff.
I stay on 4.
Yeah, hold on 4.
Sir, you haven't even received your second card.
Oklahoma's playing a bust card. Hold,
holding on 4. Just gonna ride this 4 out. Yeah, they've BYU, UCLA, Baylor, Oklahoma, Kansas State, and let's say Oklahoma State. Those are all likely losses, like looking ahead. Those could be – that's a heinous rip. This is after, by the way. We haven't even covered this. They lost David Ash.
And their starting center.
Yeah.
Which is part of the offensive line thing, but that's a big deal too.
Yeah, the dude who runs your offense and the other guy who runs your offense. Both gone. The entire core of your offense in the span of a week, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Hook 'em.
Well, it kind of makes it easier, doesn't it? Like, if you don't have an offensive line, why do you need a quarterback? And if you don't have a quarterback, why do you need an offensive line?
Will Muschamp has broken you.
That's, yeah, it's kind of like if you don't have a job, then you don't have to pay for a car. And if you don't have to pay for a car, you don't really need a job.
Right.
You're basically taking like the John Boy's approach to life. I don't need to own a car. What do we need? Well,
I kind of think John should be the coach of at least one Big 12 school at some point.
Oh, Iowa State.
Yeah, I mean, what's it going to hurt? I mean, what are they going to do, lose to North Dakota State?
Duh. Done and done. So for this week's Breaking Iowa State, I decided
we're going to run 11 punters.
We're going to break the sack record for our own QB.
Kansas is going to break the sack record.
We're going to make them do it. Just different dares. We could just crowdsource whatever dare Iowa State was going to do that week, you know? We can go beyond. Don't punt. You'd be like, no, 11 punters on the field.
Oh, you're gonna wear shoes on your hands and nothing on your feet.
We're making you play in moon boots on the field. let's move to things from last week because we are coming out of week one, and one wants to be cautious coming out of week one.
Hell no.
Let's make sure.
What you're even talking about there.
All right, screw it. Let's make general, like, blanket generalizations. Just things looking forward that you go, oh, this is totally what that team's going to be. They won't improve. This won't change. They're screwed because of this.
Is it okay that mine is positive?
I mean, this is the internet, so no, but go ahead.
All right, so I picked Cal because I think Cal beating a Northwestern team that may actually be made out of expired graham crackers was comforting because they showed some semblance of a defense, and they didn't have that at all last year.
No, let's reemphasize, not at all.
Like, literally, they just didn't have it. It's as if they took 11 strangers who had never seen football and said, hey, just stand here. Something really cool and fast is going to happen around you.
Past you. Behind you.
Right.
Often over you.
Right. They were the bystanders in the train station, and the opposing offense was the flash mob.
Yeah.
And they're just whoa! Yeah. Whoa, did they plan this ahead of time? This is crazy.
Is this 2007? What? Whoa!
But yeah, I think Cal will be kind of a feisty team and will play enough defense to hang around in games and put a scare into, I don't know, somebody, but they won't be this, you know, bottom of the barrel. We only throw 70 passes a game because our defense gets scored on immediately garbage heap.
Now, if they're not the bottom of the barrel, say the Pac-12 barrel, who is?
Oh, I'm afraid I have an answer to that.
Oh, God.
It may be Washington. It may be a bad long year at Washington.
Worse than Cal?
You know, I went into that sentence real confident, and now I tried to say it, and it won't come out of my mouth, so I don't know.
Hold on to it. Hold on to it tight.
Phew. It may still be Colorado. I know Colorado will improve, but they still might be the bottom because they got paved by Colorado State.
They did. Runt
over.
Hey, man. I mean, we've all seen that Twitter picture of the Ram running over the Buffalo. That's just art and life, that thing, you know? Art and life and all, whatever the quote is.
Colorado State's just Bama's farm league team anyway.
Yeah.
D Hart, what's up?
Now, I'm sticking with Cal as the worst team in the Pac-12. personally. I mean, yeah, they beat Northwestern and all, but Northwestern can't even put their clothes on, right? Y'all see that news?
Oh, yeah. You know there's a Pac-12 team that lost to Rutgers, right?
Oh, yeah, like, them. We can still say them.
Gary Nova looked awesome against a Pac-12 team. I'm just going to throw that out.
There's another option then.
All right, now, I'm actually going to defend Wazoo on this, and this is not a super defense for Wazoo, but if you look at them, offensively, they're going to be very good. They're going to be crazy good. And Connor Halliday is going to throw no more than 3 or 4 picks a game, which is improvement, really, because he's probably going to throw 5 or 6 TDs per game as well. Like, Connor Halliday is now air raid mind-melded. They're just going to be ridiculously productive offensively across the board throughout the year, which I think that's what makes them a skonch better than Cal, because I think Cal will have hiccups.
I mean, Cal is going to have not just hiccups. They're just going to be vomiting. Like, sure, the defense looked fine and all, and they put up points with their lull, throw the ball 85 times a game thing. Their lull. I'm making a little hand gesture when I say that. But
that's,
I mean,
good. That's good for this medium. So
just picture it. I mean, the schedule is going to get brutal. The depth that looks better than last year, sure, but lost so much talent. Lost like an LSU load of players to the draft, even though they didn't have LSU quality players to begin with. Listen, man. We're talking about Cal. Why is this happening?
Okay, all right, that's fine. I mean, all I know is Ralph Regan went from spending 2 years talking shit about Maryland at brunch and then went out and got a W.
Yeah, talking over a long brunch. An extended, hearty brunch.
It's a two-year
brunch. Hey, I'll tell you this. It was a damn good brunch.
All right, listen, if you're going to pick like coaches to have a brunch with, Friedgen's up there.
I'm following the fridge.
Yeah, you're cowering in his shadow, following along. I would say this. Another trend that I saw is this, that I think UCLA's offensive line, they're going to have problems. They did not do much against UVA. Not at all. They literally did not accomplish
many tasks, just in terms of transforming matter into energy and all that. They didn't do very much work.
No. Cal, like, they look like you on a Wednesday at the office, you know? Not you generally, or not you specifically.
No, I sit. On Wednesdays at the office, I sit, and that's about the same level of activity.
Yeah, like, they looked like a desperately hungover office employee, just praying for death and to make it through the day. They looked bad, and I don't think that was just the West Coast to East Coast transit either. Virginia, who, you'll hear people this week go, well, you know what? Virginia's probably pretty good. No, they're not.
They do have a talented little defense. They ranked pretty well in Bill C's numbers last year, and they have a 5-star or two in that mix. But, no. I mean, there are excuses you can make for UCLA, but not that many.
Not that many, and certainly not, I think, indicative of a lofty preseason rating for them. I think that's going to be an issue, particularly Brett Hundley going into his sophomore year, playing behind a slightly dodgy offensive line. It won't be fair to his talents, let's say.
So he's going to get hurt, is what you're saying?
No,
just say it.
No, I don't think he's going to get hurt.
Okay.
But it is football. He'll get hit, and that'll suck. And they'll have to work the quick game more and more. Then a defense sort of clamps down on that. Then they get into some bad situations against teams like, I don't know, Stanford?
Oregon. Do they play Oregon?
Take a look here.
It is the Pac.
Yeah, they do. They play Oregon. They play USC.
Yeah, there's some teams that are going to be able to put pressure.
Both the Arizonas.
Yeah, if the offensive line doesn't improve, that's going to be a very serious issue for UCLA at one point. Any other sort of lasting trends that you see coming out of the opening weekend before we move on to further silliness?
You mentioned it earlier, Baylor's defense. I'm really excited about that. The 3-4 looked awesome. They have the big athletes up front looked as even better than we thought they'd look when they were being talked about as maybe the Big 12's best defensive line. I mean, I know June Jones is getting up there in years and all, but holding anybody to 67 yards is, I still can't wrap my mind around it.
I think he doesn't have any more molting left in him. Like, he's down to his last layer of skin. Jin Jones, that is.
We're about to see, like pure final boss reveal Jin Jones.
Like, yeah, you gotta hit him in the flashing part of his sternum.
It's well, that happened, so tune in next week. He'll be like 1 inch taller.
If we score less than 50 yards, I turn into that last stage fly. Jeff Goldblum, my jaw just falls off and the antennae come out.
I think it just turns into a mustache.
Yeah, a mustache and a lay.
A lay. Man, just send him home. Just go home, June.
I mean, I wrote this, but really the entire SMU job move, strictly for tax purposes. It's like him and Dennis Erickson just taking their money and trying to like pivot it into the most tax-friendly state. Oh, a head coaching job in a state with no income tax. Hey, look at that. Sure, I'll coach.
Yeah, he's probably pretty rich.
He's probably doing better than we'll ever do. Which,
oh yeah.
Anytime you talk shit about a coach, just remember that.
Just remember that.
Whoa. He's doing better than internet writers? Whoa.
Have you seen how much we disrupt on a daily basis?
I saw how much Baylor disrupted SMU. That's a dang startup right there.
Man, they're even better at us than that.
I know. Lord. Think about this. Charlie Weiss is pretty much going to easily outpace our combined net worth, probably. Like, that's how much.
Like, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
You would not trade all of Charlie Weiss's money to be Charlie Weiss for a week, would you?
Dude, I'd like to be Charlie Weiss for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's very different than a week.
And then what you would do is, like, buy something and ship it to yourself. Smart.
Be like, yeah, hello, Amazon.
My name's Charlie Weiss.
I would like to do that and just call into a talk radio show. Everything I've ever loved is a lie. Just start Charlie Weissing it out, saying everything that came up to my head for 15 minutes, and then quantum leap back into myself, yep. And immediately go to the internet to watch people talking about what I had just done.
Charlie Weiss said he really wanted to be the Portland Trail Blazers coach. That's awesome.
No, he might. I mean, look at how he just keeps ending up places. You never know.
Like, what's the worst thing you could say right before quantum leaping out of somebody's body on, like, a national television channel and or station?
Well, one thing you could definitely say is, I am not someone inhabiting this body right now. This is exactly the person you think it is. And then they won't suspect anything.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think the worst thing you could say would be, Hurricane Katrina was a lie.
That's pretty bad.
Bill Snyder did 9/11. And just hang up the
Wait,
phone.
Are you talking about like 9/11 AD?
Yeah.
What happened then?
He built Hagia Sophia, pinnacle of Byzantine architecture.
Did it all with JUCOs.
Did it all with JUCOs and parts left over from something in Hadrian's Wall. It was amazing.
Dried up Taco Bell.
And he time ported there with his mind. Bill Snyder did 9/11. Hang up the phone and just wait for the universe to explode. And then Charlie comes to, oh!
Well, of course, in the state of Kansas, I mean, I think that's a situation where Charlie Weiss just says Bill Snyder's name, and it's just, get my name out your mouth, you know. No. You're not even worthy to speak the name.
I just want to know the 8 Kansas football fans who would defend him. I mean, the man's got a right to his opinions. We don't know what happened. We don't know. We just don't know. You think you know. You think you're so smart. The last thing I'll take out of this is I think USC is probably going to be consistently productive on offense all year. Like, I don't think that's a gimmick. I don't think that's a blip. I think that'll go down a little bit against Stanford because Stanford's just so sluggish and slow. But I think the whole Cody Kessler rejuvenation project is probably already complete. Whatever.
Even though he had staff?
Yes.
Yeah, the man had toe surgery days before facing Stanford, and he's like a converted dual threat quarterback. And I'm like, oh well, they don't seem worried. I guess I won't be either.
Because the long term plan is to give Stanford staff. Remember, staff hasn't been around since Walt Harris's infected couch back in like 2005. I want to say. Remember, they actually had to throw a couch out of the Stanford locker room because it was infected with some sort of awful staff infection.
Now, I just wonder, why doesn't the Pac-12 bathe?
Dude, it's organic. I mean...
Okay.
Yeah, you got the Pacific Ocean right there. Why you gotta bathe?
Because it's full of staff.
What's the most powerful animal in the Western United States? It'd be the bear. How often do you see a bear bathe?
Bears go in rivers to get fish and stuff.
Man, that ain't bathing. That's working.
So you're shopping is all that is.
So I think what you're saying is that they should stock the showers with fish.
What I'm saying is you put...
If that's what it takes.
I'm saying you put a bear on every football team. Right. When he goes into the water, everyone follows him. That's your optimal bathing schedule.
As FDR promised, a bear on every football team.
A bear on every football team.
A clean bear.
A staff infection in every couch.
I don't know why you got to use charge terms like a clean bear.
Have you ever smelled a bear?
Spencer, can we please move on? I'm going to say something wrong. I just know it.
We'll move on. Let's go into we have reader questions. We submitted these earlier this evening, and we're going to discuss these as a method toward actual discussion of football, which I think we've gotten 3 or 4 minutes in. That's pretty good for us.
Yeah.
Ryan, you have questions you've taken.
Yeah. I think, Spencer, I think I know the answer to this one already, but this is a question from Stephen Wadsworth. He says, which of your team's games that you attended... And I will expand this to any game that you attended, whether it was quote-unquote your team or not. Would you rather have been canceled by weather than actually played?
See, Jason, this will be kind of tricky for you because, Kennesaw.
Yeah, all our games have been canceled so far. I do have an answer, though. Last year's Alabama-Virginia Tech game is the first one that comes to mind.
Mm.
That was about 7 hours in. Everyone there was just sort of, can we leave?
Done. Utterly done. No one wanted to watch that vague efforting at football anymore.
I mean, like, even Barrett Sally had had enough, and that guy really likes SEC football.
Yeah, he loves it more than we do, and we like it a lot, and he was done. So I will say this, that's a good nominee. Mine is also a Georgia Dome game. You would think 62-24 in 1997, right? People forget it's the 96 season, but goes or sorry, 95 was be January 1996. 62-24 in Nebraska, right? In the Fiesta Bowl? Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. That was actually, like, I would not take away watching that Nebraska team because it was like watching a tornado. You really are kind of glad you saw it, and you're glad you didn't get hurt. I would take away the 2009 SEC Championship game, the least bearable Florida Gator game I ever watched in person.
See, I would go with that. What was it? I think it was the 2011 Tax Slayer Bowl.
Oh.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean Luke Fickle has a bowl on his resume, so
yeah, and he's 0-1 against the University of Florida Will Muschamp. That's why they didn't hire him. You know, you should consider me for the head coaching job. You lost to Will Muschamp in a bowl game. Next, that's it. That's how it ends. Jason, your reader mail.
First up, we have by our friend Murder Kroger. Is what will be this year's Michigan State Rich Homie Quan equivalent? Of course, last year, Michigan State and Rich Homie Quan, the rapper from Atlanta, adopted each other, and we ended up with the sight of a skinny, tattooed rapper hugging Mark D'Antonio at the Rose Bowl. The first one that comes to mind for me is I really want E-40 to adopt Virginia Tech, just because, A, you have you're taking sort of a cultural exchange, someone from a rapper-dense environment, the Bay Area, and shipping them east to where they have fewer rappers. Sure, they have the clips and all, but you know, it's just a lower rapper per capita.
Well,
they're
not in Charlottesville. Let's be proper.
Well, they have that going for them. And also, you have just sort of, I just want to hear how he would describe Virginia Tech's offense. Like, he would make up some ridiculous slang term for it. Like, he, you know, it's rampant or whatever, and we just have to figure out whether that's good or bad. We'd never really know.
All right, I like that. I will go ahead and take my question, which would be this from Jesse Spector, writer for the Sporting News. He asks, as a New Yorker and non-FBS grad, boo! New York!
Wow.
I've never had a real favorite team because you don't know love. You live in New York. Just a rat in a box.
That's awful.
It is.
That is offensive to rats. Rats can feel love.
Rats don't have to pay rent. I've never had a real favorite team. Is it too late to pick one? Well, you were born in New York, so the answer is yes from birth. But I will go ahead, and I'll let you guys give what I think the obvious answer is to this. New York is officially claimed territory now.
Yeah, you're stuck with Rutgers, Jesse, so have fun with that.
No, I can't do this. Well, I remember.
Hey, rules are rules, friends. No,
it's Big Ten country now, son.
I remember
you were
last,
there. You saw it happen.
I remember the last time that somebody asked us for a team that they should support because they wanted one, and that was Dan Devine, and we stuck him with West Virginia right before they became just terrible. Just yes. Awful to watch.
It's the curse of ask people for a favorite football team.
Yeah.
So does that mean we're saying Florida State?
Yes.
Oh, yes. There's your team, Jesse Spector. Florida State. Flawless moral character.
Super fun to watch.
Devoid of controversy. Fine academic institution that'll never put you in a moral bind where you'll feel ethically filthy rooting for them. Yeah,
they play a lot of really close competitive games. Their fans are super fun on the internet. You're going to really like them.
Civil, polite, funny, smart, everything you want.
Tallahassee is a lot like New York if Central Park was, you know, a shoe carnival.
I mean, you could say that, like, Tallahassee with the large numbers of young people, it's a lot like Brooklyn.
Yeah, in that way. It has a lot of young people.
It's like the Brooklyn of Leon County.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll give you Florida State. Remember, we should just disclose my favorite fact about Florida State. Remember, they actually had a Nobel Prize winner demand a donation back after they misappropriated the funds he had donated to the university. That's true, you're awful, and I don't have to make that up. Ryan, your next question.
All right, so next, I've got a question from Evan, and he says, if every current head coach opened their own restaurant, whose would you most like to go to? And because I picked this question, I am going to jump on the answer and say that I would want to go to Brady Hoke's tremendous house of calzone buffet. We're going to stuff the run, and we're going to stuff your face.
Calzone buffet. Has anyone in world history ever eaten two calzones?
Funny you should ask that.
They were tremendous.
I want people to know that when we make fun of Brady Hoke being a glutton, we're not making fun of him being fat. He just looks like a dude who wants to eat. Like, we've got fat jokes for days. With Brady Hoke, you're like, that's a man who looks like he could eat half a meatloaf.
He mostly looks like he eats confusing things, where you're like, hey, Brady, did you have dinner? Oh, well, I ate an entire bag of Star Mints, and I'm thinking about starting on some Andes, and I don't know. I got a dental appointment tomorrow, so I feel like that's a net positive.
And also, his university is sponsored by pizza.
Well,
I mean, that kind of adds up. Like, that to me is the Brady Hoke essence, right? That he's just the kind of guy who's like, what makes you happy? And he's like, I'd like a pizza. You know, like, that's... My restaurant would be Nick Saban's Rouge, the most terrifying avant-garde cuisine in Tuscaloosa. Head-to-tail cooking, using every part of the animal, processed powerfully through a silent, deadly, and focused kitchen of the finest underlings, probably not getting paid to work professional hours, turning out a product that is intimidating and yet bland. That would be Rouge!
The nice thing about Rouge employees, though, is that they won't talk to the media.
Can't talk to the media.
So, that, health inspector.
Mouth taped shut. Worst Bourdain episode ever. I'd like to talk to your expediter. No, you can't. I'm sorry. I'm very happy with my life. Jason?
Let's see here. Well, I can't believe nobody's mentioned Hogo yet. We can go eat in West Virginia, where they're famous for selling biscuits out of gas stations, which I can't picture. I can't picture Dana Holgerson ever eating a biscuit in a gas station.
Is that
I totally can't. I'm sorry. I totally can't.
Is that a metaphor for something? because
well, if you ask Coco, he'll tell you what that means in all 50 states. But what would he serve? It would just be there'd be a lengthy drinks menu, that's for sure. I don't know if there'd be food per se, but
it'd be half cooked, based on what I saw out of West Virginia last year in the opener. It'd be half cooked. There'd be some.
Ew.
There'd be a bone. There'd be a bone or two in there.
Bone's good for you.
Yeah, bone's good eating.
That's calcium right there. It'd be
really, I just want to hear him read the menu in his voice. Like every time that Big 12 coaches commercial plays and his Shawn Michaels voice comes on. And it's like, just drink some coffee, man.
can we arrange for the next person we know who meets with him to ask him what's in tuna niçoise and just see what he says?
You got the niçoise in there. Probably some tuna. Yeah, some tuna. The last question that I have from a reader in here, which is, you know what? We've never talked about them, as far as I know, in a positive sense. It would be this, and I'm very pleased to be able to say this. We have a reader writing in who says, "Oh, Pitt, not terrible." And honestly, I think Pitt looks fairly together. I dare say they're probably not terrible this year.
Yeah, coming into the year, they look like one of that big old cluster of 8-4 teams in the ACC Coastal, and haven't really done anything to change that. Sort of won by 62 points. That usually helps.
Listen, if you told me that Pitt would actually, and that was, by the way, Jesse R. Pound, if you told me that Pitt would actually look that good in an opener against anyone, I mean, remember, they've struggled against FCS teams in openers recently.
Yeah. Things are looking up.
This was positive. Let's remember.
You can't say that without laughing.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to act like any of us watched that game, but it's certainly a lot of numbers.
How confident are you that any member of the media verified the reported final score and statistics?
Is it like putt-putt where you sort of write down your own score?
right. Yeah.
And just Delaware just lost their card.
Delaware dumped it in the pond on 8.
Classic Delaware.
Classic Delaware move.
Delaware sucks at golf. I said it.
Yep. Come at me, blue hens. How dare you? Let's go ahead and let's look to the schedule ahead, including, by the way, I think a potential half of show-stopping football tomorrow with Arizona at the University of Texas, San Antonio.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun little one.
That is a thing that will happen.
That's happening. It's going to be a fun night on the internet, because that's going to be happening during the NFL thing, and we're going to be having so much more fun than they are watching those two teams just race up and down the field against each other. UTSA is pretty good. They're the ones with the I think the 38 players who've been together since the program started, and they're all super experienced.
They had a year of practice. The UTSA got an entire year of practice, where if you read the fine USA Today article on them, you found out that, yes, they'd had 38 guys who have played together since then. And in addition to that, when they said open tryouts, people really took the word literally. So they had people like rolling up like semi-pro. Like, yeah, let's play for UTSA. And they're like, yeah, you have to enroll in a college. And they're like, what?
Forget that.
Like, there's just people out in San Antonio who are like, I'm 34. I'm working as a welder. Thought I'd just come out and play a little football.
My doctor has not cleared me, but fuck you.
I don't believe in him anyway. If you would like to continue saying positive things, Pitt versus Boston College, ba-boom! Playing at 7 on Friday.
I think you're really pushing this positive Pitt thing. This has gone too far.
You got to get it in early, you know?
I'm going to run out of positivity the minute Florida starts playing, so let's just hop on this wagon now.
So that's why you guys are in such a good mood.
Undefeated! Undefeated.
It's bad that I was happy about that, right?
No.
Okay.
No. I was thrilled. I'm not emotionally ready for this. Give me another week.
It was kind of like having getting an extension on an exam that you know you're going to fail.
I found out that I could get my wisdom teeth out in December instead of like this week. That's how it felt. They're like, oh, I could put off surgery until December. Awesome.
That's right. In both cases, you get pudding.
You can defer this loan of sports pain.
I just had to write Idaho a check for like $950,000, and I get my wisdom teeth done in December. It's pretty
worth
great.
Worth it.
Do you think a program is just going to set up a bunch of FCS games and then pay them, not play them, and only have to play like 8 games?
I think we can trade wins. I think Florida will get in this weird market where suddenly we've leveraged like a 24-game 2017 somehow. Like we're playing 24 games in 2017, so Will Muschamp can get another year because he has nude photos of Jeremy Foley or something.
Hey, he won 9 games that year.
remember how he took him to the Super Bowl in 2012? Do you see anything on the schedule besides our obvious Michigan State Oregon game, Ryan? That should pique our attention.
Well, that we've got USC Stanford, which we've already sort of talked about as why that will be interesting, given, hey, USC plays all fast and good now, and, you know, not as awful as they used to. But the one I'm actually looking forward to is 7 o'clock, East Carolina at South Carolina.
Woo! No, there's some danger there. Real live danger.
Pirates. Yeah, I think that will be a very interesting game to sort of tell us, hey, was this just South Carolina's typical, we're terrible in our home opener, and that's why we keep agreeing to be the first one on stage every year, or if they are just going to sink like a stone this year.
I do like the idea of increasing the sample size there, because the number one problem against Texas A&M is you have a super young secondary, and they have a bunch of wide receivers, and they run the air raid. So let's try that again. Exact same thing. Let's keep doing it until we get this right. Just have Texas Tech next, Washington State after that, play West Virginia. Just keep bringing on the exact same thing. Just slightly less talented each time.
Another weird game, if you want to, like, just to point out, Oklahoma plays at Tulsa. Like, there's a couple of these, by the way. There's Missouri plays at Toledo, mm-hmm. and Oklahoma plays at Tulsa. So getting that home and home. In Tulsa and Toledo, titans of college football.
Oklahoma at Tulsa, that's all about recruiting. They got to break into that Tulsa market. Penetration in Tulsa by Oklahoma.
What happened there was somebody did not read his iTunes agreement. He was just like, yeah, scroll.
Click.
Like, what? You agreed to play in Tulsa? Oh, shit.
Click to accept matchup against Tulsa. Click. Oh.
Be like, oh, I just wanted to listen to Colby Calais.
Dang it, where's the back button? Computers don't have any back buttons in the Oklahoma football complex because we're always looking forward. We also have, in games that might be an upset, Ball State at Iowa. Watch your ass, Iowa. Ball State ain't playing.
Nope. Got ball in the name. That don't mean they're playing.
Yeah. Maryland at South Florida, if you want to watch something truly abominable. South Florida coming off of a dominant win against the Western Carolina Catamounts, who were 2-10 last year at the SoCon.
You know what else we're going to get to see around that same time? A Tulane home game that's not in the Super, that doesn't take place in the Superdome after what looks like a nuclear holocaust.
There are so many games that come from an alternate reality where you would go to a place like Tulane as a major program. Then again, we are talking about Georgia Tech, whose boosters are reportedly too apathetic to fire Paul Johnson.
That means he's won. He's convinced them to accept his way of life.
You give up, don't you? Yeah, we did.
I could just see him meeting with boosters, and they're like, well, Paul, we really think you got to turn this team around. He's like, well, we all die in the end, don't we? They're like, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess
like he's starting some sort of a just cult. Just a nihilist cult of a bunch of rich dudes who don't care anymore.
I guess love is a meaningless chemical reaction we convince ourselves gives our lives meaning.
You could learn another offense, but why? Doesn't matter. Other games like that, by the way, Arizona State at New Mexico? The allure of Bob Davy drawing.
Hey guys, Bob Davy's making tamales. Come on over.
Click to accept.
Yeah, again, it's all about recruiting. How in the world is Arizona State going to break into the New Mexico talent market? There's a wall there. They got to go over there and get those kids out.
I quote Hal Mummy, New Mexico has more elk than people.
Well, yeah. I think Arizona State could use some elk on its defense.
You know, hey, listen, you ever seen what a pair of horns can do to a person? Imagine a ball carrier. I mean, it's just that simple. In a deluge of horrible, meaningless games on this weekend, there is one that sticks out above them all. That is Michigan State at Oregon. I will be there doing something, watching the football game. How do you see this game going, Jason Kirk?
Well, I mean, the line, I think, for this game is like 14 points in favor of Oregon, which sounds insane to me. Just the idea of kind of anyone beating Michigan State by 14 points. If any team can do it, it's probably Oregon at home. But, you know, I think we see a much closer game than that. You know, it'll be a great one. It'll be fun to watch just the two systems that are so allegedly different but really kind of similar, just the way they're so efficient and focused on offense and defense respectively. It'll be one heck of a game. I see a close Oregon win, but what did y'all think?
Is Oregon in the third quarter no longer a thing?
No, that's not a thing.
That left us. Chip took
that. Yeah. That kind of like, that's the kind of thing that in the past you'd say, well, that's why Oregon's going to win this game. But if they don't have that, I don't know. That's kind of worrisome, isn't it?
Now, Watch out for Michigan State's third quarter. They tend to return at least two fumble returns for touchdowns every third quarter.
Yeah, this is the reason that I kind of lean Michigan State in this one is this, that watch how Oregon lost last year. I know Mariota was injured, but they lost to teams who really boxed them in and really made Mariota beat them. And if you can turn one guy into the entire offense, well, you could just focus on beating that dude. And that's what happened to them a lot last year. They went away from like that extremely run-based identity. And the results weren't entirely flattering. So, I mean, I think this will probably play out a lot like the Stanford game last year, like 26-20 was the Stanford game last year. They just beat up on Mariota. I can kind of see the same thing happening. Close, but I think Michigan State could probably just get into chokehold mode and watch them pass out.
Kinky.
I know. It is Oregon, though. Don't judge. Anything else of note before we sign off?
Texas Tech got the late shift. They kind of looked like crap last week, right?
Against the University of Central Arkansas.
Right. So, the place that is the most Arkansas by definition.
Well, it got more Arkansas around it than any other school, so yeah. In any direction, being most central.
So I guess they have that.
As long as it's not lying about its name.
Might be. You never know with those Arkansans.
You know what? That would be pretty Arkansas of them if they were.
That would be. I'd also point to a cult classic, Michigan at Notre Dame, if you're into that. It's going to be on NBC.
Yeah, for grand folks, people on Facebook.
That's a good game to treat like the news channel treats the weather. Just be like, okay, on the 8s, I'm going to check the Michigan-Notre Dame game.
That's a little aggressive.
Okay.
Maybe just on the 8.
On the single 8.
On the, can we do a multiples on the 24s? Just every 24 minutes, 24. Let your remote wander over to Michigan at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
How about just on the final?
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe. On the weekly. Oh, a box score. Look at that. I would also point out BYU at Texas, which that could go sideways.
Ooh. Ooh, my.
They're like, Taysom Hill revenge game. And you're like, four starts on Texas's offensive line. versus 48-year-old men.
Oh, you know what else I'm excited about? Somebody is going to walk out of that Virginia Tech Ohio State game, one fan base, feeling awful.
I think both might leave feeling awful.
Strong chance of that.
Frank Beamer's like dream game is awful. It's an atrocity to watch. It's Bud Foster beating people up on one side of the ball.
Yep.
And basically punting on the other.
Frank Beamer's dream win is you score 10 points and you win by 14.
Yeah, and you know what? That could happen because Ohio State did not exactly inspire confidence against Navy. Like, they basically uncorked a couple of long plays. That was it against Navy. And then their defense, you know, the talent gradient fell through and Navy was like, it was like almost like watching a video game when Navy runs out of gas against guys who are more talented than they are in like the late third quarter. And that's not going to be the case against Virginia Tech. So this is just, let's agree that this is going to be an utter atrocity of a game.
So watch that on the 28th.
That sounds much better than Michigan Notre Dame. Every single word, all the atrocity, all the
well,
debacle.
It'll have a grandeur to it. It really will.
Yeah.
Because they'll show the stands, and it'll just be the already, by default, unhappy Ohioans with their arms folded, watching bitterly as Frank Beamer's offense makes theirs look functional. They're like, they got up 9 plays in a row. Look at that.
All of them were false starts.
Why is at least they're starts.
Why is Frank Beamer smiling? Why is he taking off his shirt? This game got so confusing. Oh, so yeah, basically we're saying don't watch anything but Michigan State, Oregon, and then stay up to watch Texas Tech play in Bat Country at UTEP on FS1, because you should always watch one UTEP game to remind you of how fortunate you are in your life.
It's really far away, in my opinion, from things.
It's like it's
except bats. It's not far away from bats.
No, they're near and dear.
It's seriously like watching football in a Firefly set. Like, oh, where'd Jane get the crew in trouble this week? UTEP.
I like to call UTEP Dry Hawaii. I don't really like to call them that, but.
And with that, we'll say adios and aloha.
Aloha.
All right. Hey, look at that.